Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 21. My message today is don't be afraid. I had some time on my hands this week. I actually got to make a PowerPoint. There's so many things to do in my week that I actually got to carve time out to make a PowerPoint. I actually have the scriptures up there too. But I still like to hear the sound of you rustling your Bibles. Then when Jesus had crossed over by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. Now we're in the city of Capernaum. This is where Peter lives, and this is where Jesus bases his ministry out of. I've been to the synagogue of Capernaum. I've been here. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be healed, and she will live." So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, and she had suffered many things at the hand of the physicians. She'd spent all that she had and was no better, but grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may only touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Steph, can you help me here? My PowerPoint froze up. I probably just need new batteries. Flip to the next slide. And he looked around to see. Back up one. There we go. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of this affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" Can you flip? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what happened to her, came and fell down at him, or before him, and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." And while he was speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house and said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" Next. And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And he permitted no one to follow except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And they came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw the tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. And when he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. And when they put him out, when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was laying. And he took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumi," which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age. And they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given to her to eat. Next. Okay. Don't be afraid. Be humble. Trying to hold on to your dignity will delay miracles. Because the Bible is very clear, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And very often, we try to sneak a miracle. Because some of us are embarrassed. My mother always called it the organ recital. When you know, someone comes along and tells you every affliction that they've got. Right, yep, I got the organ recital today. This ruler of the synagogue comes to Jesus. Now remember, Jesus hammers these guys. He says, "You like to wear the clergy robes and walk around, and you like the respect of everybody, and you every hair is in place, and your house is immaculate, and you not a wrinkle in your robe, and you walk around, and you like the greetings in the marketplace. Rabbi, Oh, Rabbi, how are you? Oh, look, it's the Rabbi. Oh, please sit up here at the wonderful place in the party. Oh, let's. And he talked about the arrogance that these men had. There was an element of, like, if you talk about someone who's got it together, man, they outwardly, I mean, they wouldn't stoop so low as to touch a sinner. I mean, these guys are the epitome of dignity and propriety and proper appearance. Here he comes and he throws himself on the ground, laying in the dirt. These are dirt streets. And begging Jesus to heal his daughter. And Jesus says, yeah, let's go. Let's go to your house. Had he not humbled himself, he would have never seen the miracle. We have to humble ourselves to get a touch from God. This man is Mr. Propriety, Mr. Proper, Prim and Proper. I mean, just Mr. Arrogance. But in a moment of desperation, wearing his clergy robes, wearing, you know, just Mr. Mac. It's like a guy wearing an Armani suit coming and jumping into the dirt. Heal my daughter. She's dying. I don't care what I look like. I don't care what these people think about me anymore. My daughter's dying and I'm desperate. Help me, Jesus. Because his desperation for his daughter to be healed finally overtook his dignity. I really believe that sometimes we would see more of God's power, but we have too much pride and self-appearance that we're trying to maintain. Years ago, I heard the story on Focus on the Family about a lady by the name of Iris Blue. You've heard me share the story before. She was an addict, a prostitute. She grew up in Sunday school. She was in kids' church, and she got away from God. And people ask her mom, well, how's Iris doing? Because Iris grew up and ran away from home. She left, and nobody really knew what was going on with her. Well, how's your daughter? Oh, she's doing good. She's doing good. Iris is, you know, just living her life. And finally, one day, in the middle of service, like the pastor's getting ready to preach, she stands up. I can't take it anymore. My daughter's run from God. She's strung out on drugs. She's selling herself on the streets. Help me! Shocked everybody. And they stopped and they prayed and God saved that woman. Later on, she found some dude that they knew. He was an addict and in a motorcycle gang. It was like a Hell's Angel. Somehow he got hooked up in the family and he shows up and they're getting ready for church one Sunday. And he comes along because she'd invited him to the church. And he's like, I know about all the dirty things you did. You're a hypocrite, blah, all this stuff. She goes, yep, and I'm telling that story this morning at church. You ought to come. Oh, and he did, and he got saved, and they ended up getting married years later. But when her mother finally dropped the dignity and the appearance and was just desperate, God intervened. But so many times we want to maintain the appearance. My friends, what you see is what you get with me. I wear my emotions on my sleeve most of the time. Not as bad as I did when I was younger, but I just am what I am. I am who I am. I don't have a lot of pretense. I can have a terrible morning. You know, and the interesting thing about Sundays, I could have the worst morning ever and get up here and the anointing takes over. That's how I do what I do. It's not me, it's God. Because if it wasn't for the anointing and the power of God, I would be a mess. And the same goes for you. If it wasn't for the Lord, we would be a mess. The problem is, though, we don't want The problem is we do what the woman with the issue of blood does. We want to sneak up behind Jesus and just get a little touch of the garment. See, when we flip over to the next one. Don't be afraid. Be bold. The woman gets healed because she's already humbled. Jesus touches this woman because she's already broken. There's no pride here. All her pride is gone. She suffered things at the hand of the physicians. Everybody knows about her. She's ceremonially unclean and she can't go out into the general public and be around people. And what she does here is illegal. It's wrong. She shouldn't have been out there. And part of the reason why she's sneaking around, she knows that if she goes out there, everybody else is going to be ceremonial and clean too that she comes in contact with. And what she do? She pushes her way through the crowd. Right? We want to sneak around and pray private prayers, and we don't want anybody else to know that we've got problems, that we're the body of Christ. We're a family. When one of us hurts, we all hurt. When one celebrates, we all celebrate. We're a family together. That's why I say we can't be a come and sit congregation. The stakes are too high. We need each other. I need you. We're talking about our online giving on Tuesday at our board meeting, what we're doing and looking at different companies. And I talked to Mike and Andy. I said, can you guys do that? Because I don't do numbers. I can cast a demon out of somebody. Ain't no problem. Don't ask me to try to figure out numbers. That's just, I don't do that. I try. When I was a teen challenge, I took this. We did a ministry school. I took a class, intro to Greek. I'm like, this is just like math. I can't make sense of this. In fact, Koine Greek is actually way easier to learn for me than math, and that doesn't say a lot. It doesn't say a lot, right? But we need people. We need each other, and we can't sneak around and just put on pretense all the time. And Jesus doesn't let us get by with sneaking around. So what does she do? She comes up and touches the hem of his garment. Number one, she's already humbled. And there's a big difference between the touch of faith and the touch of curiosity. Because remember, lots of people are bumping into Jesus. 1996, I saw DC Talk. Anybody remember DC Talk? You know, Toby Mac was a part of DC Talk. I saw them play in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Well, I was way up in the bleachers, but not too far from the stage. And he climbed up there, and I touched his shoulder. Oh, man, I didn't get healed, nor did I get any of his talent. But, right, there's a big difference between the touch of curiosity and this woman's touch of faith. And I remember being all excited. I touched Toby, man. Oh, being like 18 years old. I don't care if I ever shook the man's hand. Not because I don't like Toby Mac. I'm not impressed by celebrity. I've met God. Back in the coffee corner, that's where about 10 years ago I heard the audible voice of God back there. I've met God. I've seen God. I've experienced God. I don't care about famous people. I haven't met him, whatever. The woman's healed and Jesus turns around. Who touched me? It's like there's a big crowd. What are you talking about? Who touched you? See, Jesus knows. You can't get by with anything. Jesus knows. He's on to you. It's like I remember one time some guy, I was youth pastor. This guy came to me, Pastor, I'm really struggling with pornography. Oh, I've known that for a long time. God tells your secrets, right? You know? Of course I know. Why do you think we're having this conversation? I've been praying for you for a long time. But I knew confronting you outright, you would run away. So I just prayed for God to prepare you for this conversation that we needed to have. And he did. It took a couple of months after the Lord alerted me to what was going on before we had that conversation. I just prayed for him. And finally he came. You don't get away with anything. Jesus is on to you. And that's a good thing. And that's a good thing. So she, and what is this? Jesus, you're crazy. What do you mean, who touched you? Everybody's touched you. You see that kid over there? He reached out and just about grabbed like a chunk of your hair. What do you? No. This was the touch of faith. And now this woman has to come face to face with the very thing she's trying to avoid. That's publicity. She's scared and she's trembling. But Jesus, instead of Jesus becoming unclean, when we come to Jesus with our mess, we get clean. According to the Jewish law, if you were ceremonially unclean and I touched you, right? Or if I was unclean and I touched you, you'd be unclean too. And then you have to go through this whole purification process. It takes like a week. But instead of being defiled, the woman is healed. And he looks at her and he says this, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Be healed of your affliction." See, everybody else had called her unclean and dirty. She was ashamed, but Jesus wanted to instill some boldness in her. And he calls her daughter. He heals her physically, he heals her mentally, and he heals her emotionally. Because he doesn't want you sneaking around. He doesn't want you walking around with your head down. He wants you to be bold. He wants you to have confidence. Listen, ladies, you're not dirty. You're his daughter. Gentlemen, you're not sleazy. You're his sons. And he's not ashamed to identify with you, despite what he knows about you. He knows it all already. There's nothing hidden from his sight. And that's a good thing, because I've tried to lie to God, and it just doesn't work. He heals her and calls her daughter. You being made physically, emotionally, and mentally whole is important. Because I believe theologically it was a part of the atonement. Look at the interactions Jesus had with people. He doesn't shame them unless they're arrogant. The religiously arrogant, he confronted because he needed them to be humble. Jesus' purposes are always redemptive. Read Revelation. Read about the judgments God pours out on the earth. And there's always a little addendum to it. But mankind would not repent. God's purpose is redemptive. Even in the judgments poured out in Revelation, the purpose is for mankind to repent. I believe that we could delay. If we started seeing the judgments of God, like in Revelation, and we began to repent, God would delay judgment. My friends, don't be afraid. Be bold. Come boldly to the throne of grace where you can obtain mercy, find grace to help in your time of need. Find someone you can confide in. Be humble, yes, before the Lord, but also he wants you to walk with boldness and confidence. We flip to the next one. Don't be afraid. Just believe. So Jesus gets sidetracked with this lady. We're coming all the way back to the beginning of the story with Jairus, the man who had to humble himself, the man who's wearing his fancy clergy robes and rolling around in the dirt, begging Jesus to heal his daughter. And while Jesus is sidetracked helping this woman and healing this woman, his daughter dies. Have you ever been devastated because somebody else got their miracle and you didn't? Have you ever been just broken because somebody else got healed and you are still sick? God provided the miracle money for one family and your house goes into foreclosure. Your car gets repossessed. You lose your job. Someone else has a miracle encounter with God and their marriage is restored and you get divorce papers. This is what's going on here. Things go from worse to even worse. It's always darkest just before it goes pitch black. Don't bother Jesus any longer. Your daughter's dead. thanks for trying, Jesus. And I really appreciate you willing to come out here, but it's too late. It's too late. Have you ever gotten bad news that about made your heart stop? Your stomach sinks? And that terror takes over. When I found out my dad had pancreatic cancer, I remember just on being on the phone and then just like in a state of shock. But then just hearing what Jesus said to him, don't be afraid, just believe. And I heard him speak that to me. He didn't tell me my dad would be fine. He just says, don't be afraid, just believe. Just trust me. Just trust me. I know what I'm doing. Just trust me. This isn't a surprise to me. Just trust me. Don't be afraid, my friends. Just believe. No matter how bad things are, no matter how hopeless it is, no matter how dead things are, we have to hold unto His word and unto His promises. Just because my circumstance doesn't line up with what I see in the Scripture doesn't mean the Scripture is void. Just because I believe that God's promise of healing is extended to humanity doesn't, and I don't see it, doesn't void His word. It just means I don't understand. I don't fully have the mind of God. I don't get everything, and I don't know why some people get healed and some people don't. But I do believe this: sickness and disease and death is not the will of God. Because if it was, there would be no promise of the resurrection from the dead. If death was the will of God, He would not have promised a resurrection. Jesus would not have paid for sin. We would have just died in our sins. Because sickness and disease came in with sin. And death came in too. It all entered in together. And it's ultimately a part of the atonement in Jesus restoring things. Some people get healed now. Some people get healed later. But everybody gets healed. One day that trumpet will sound, and if I'm alive, I'll meet Him up in the air, and if I'm dead, I'm going to kick that grave wide open. Or whatever they do with me. If I'm cremated, I'll put me in a mayonnaise jar. I don't care what you do. I do not care what they do to me when I'm dead. I'm going to be with Jesus. I don't care what they do to this body. I donate it to science. I don't care what they do. Have me taxidermy and put me in the living room. What do I? I'm not there. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Just trust in His word. No matter how bad it looks, no matter how much it's getting worse, hold on to His promise. Hold on to His promise. Hold on to His word. Because the ultimate fulfillment of that is when Jesus steps foot on the Mount of Olives. And He rules and reigns here on the earth. My final point, if we can flip, don't be afraid, just ignore. He tells the crowd, she's not dead, she's sleeping. And if you have the King James, it says, they laughed Him to scorn. I just love the way the King James words things sometimes. They laugh, you idiot! You're the big Messiah, you should know the difference between death and sleep. Here's the big healer, here's the big Messiah, the King of Israel, the Son of God, and He can't tell that this little girl's dead. So what's He do? All right, out. Everybody, get out of here. All of you, and I'm not saying that to you right now. Please don't. Well, Pastor said to get out. Let's go. I'm hungry anyway. I'm hungry too. I didn't eat breakfast. Yeah, oh, that's good. Praise the Lord for whoever brought treats today. A double portion upon you. He gets out everybody out of the house and takes the parents, Peter, James, and John. Doesn't even take the rest of the 12. He just takes these five people in there with Him. Shuts the door and heals the girl. Raises her from the dead. There are times when Jesus could not do miracles because people did not believe or people were offended at Him. This man could have listened to everybody. Don't bother Jesus anymore. Just Jesus, thank you. Have a nice day. Please go away. We're going to bury his daughter. But Jesus is like, tell everybody to be quiet and get out of here. Jesus intervenes and looks at him and says, don't be afraid. Just believe. Just trust me. I know it's bad. I know she's dead. Just trust me. Trust me. Trust me. My friends, even if something is dead, it's not too late. You ever read Ezekiel? The Valley of Dry Bones. Like not just dry bones, like bleached, white, there's nothing. And he doesn't say tell the bones to live. He says prophesy breath into them, which is God's spirit. Prophesy breath into them. Because it's not by might or by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. When God's spirit touches something dead, it comes alive. They prophesy, son of man, can these bones live? I guess the right church answer would be only you know, God. Can I heal you? Yes. Maybe. Do you want to? Are you going to? Lord, only you know. Prophesy breath. See, sometimes we just have to silence the negative voices around us. Even our own. Thus the Lord told me for 2018, I gave you the nice version of the word of the Lord. Thus God said, Pastor Ben, 2018 is the year that you shut up. Keep your mouth shut. And watch me do what I'm going to do. He wants to say, don't be afraid, just believe. What's tormenting you? What fears do you have? What are you hoping for that hasn't come to pass? Silence the negative voices. Silence the doubt and unbelief, because that will prevent you from receiving what God has for you. And just trust His Word. No matter what, I'm going to hope in the Word of God even when my circumstances doesn't seem to line up. Because God's Word is true. And ultimately, death itself won't hold me down. Everybody is kicked out of the house. See, all these voices were contrary to what Jesus had to say. You have to silence the voices that bring fear. Silence the voices that bring doubt and unbelief. Silence the things that cause us to have a lack of faith. We have to silence all other voices that go contrary to what God has to say. What are you reading? What are you watching? What are you listening to? I can't stomach the news anymore. And ultimately, I don't care what's going on in the world, not because I don't care, but because I read the end of the book. And I know enough about what's going on that I really don't need to know anymore. I just trust God and I listen. So if you listen, I really believe God will begin to speak things to you and reveal things to you. Anybody remember Paul Wellstone? The night he died, the Lord said, pray for him. Pray for his salvation. Pray this man get saved. Okay, Lord, I pray for Senator Wellstone to get saved. I don't particularly agree with where he stands on moral issues, but God, save that man, just to find out that next morning he died in a plane crash. God knows enough about politics just to tell me what I need to know. Pray for this man. Pray for that person. Pray I do this. Pray I do that. Sometimes the voices you need to silence are godly people who mean well. To this day, my dad still tries to talk me out of ministry. Well, you have this degree in broadcasting. Yeah, and that opened up doors for me to do other things. Then I got another degree after that. And then I ended up in ministry, right where God wanted me, and I've used the things that I learned. I might not be sitting on a radio station somewhere, but this is a lot better. We have to silence the voices of fear, doubt, and unbelief, including our own voice. We have to trust and we have to hope in God's word. My friends, don't be afraid. Just believe and silence the voices that are contrary to what God is saying. Silence the voices that cause fear. Silence the voices that are creating worry. And we have to hope in God's word. And I know the struggle. I know it. To hear the internal voices inside. To hear your own negative self-talk. I know that. I know to hear the voices of people around me. Well-meaning people. And some not so well-meaning. But I just have to go with this. Man, what's your secret? How in the world you get your whole church to pray together on Sunday morning? How in the world do you get a man to give you money like that or give you a big piece of property like that? What's your secret? Well, I don't do what the experts say. I just go with the Bible. Right? I don't care what the doctor told me. I'm just going with what I know of God. Right? Not that the doctor doesn't know what he's talking about, but I know Jesus knows better. I'm just going to trust him. And I'm not opposed to medicine. As I've prayed many times, and this is another secret to how I get a lot of prayers answered. I don't care how you do it, God, do it. You use a doctor, great. Which one do I go to? If you want to do a miracle, make a miraculous miracle, great. I don't care. But I just began, and I'm working on this thing right now. It's called 365 Faith Declarations. And I've been praying every day. And I watched God doing incredible things as I began to silence my own. See, I always just had this negative self-talk my whole life. But as I began to train my mind to begin to speak truth and to meditate on truth and meditate on the Word of God, I've seen God moving powerfully and doing things. Powerful. Because I'm silencing the voices, and often it's my own voice. Yes, and sometimes the devil gets blamed for a lot of stuff he's not doing. Poor old Scratch is blamed. He's in enough trouble as it is, and you tattletaling on him and blaming him for what he didn't do. No, this is probably your own internal self-talk. Don't be afraid. Just ignore. Ignore the voices. Go with the Word of God. Let's flip. There's a call to action. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Be humble. Be bold. Believe. And ignore. But don't be afraid. Be humble. Be bold. Believe and ignore. So if we can just have someone come and begin to play quietly, we're just going to take a minute and pray. We'll give you an opportunity. We're going to just open up the altar. If you need prayer, you need a touch from the Lord, you're done pretending everything's okay and you just want to get real. Or you want to stand up right where you're at and scream because you can't take it anymore. Fine with that. I have 15 acres. I go out there and scream at God. I do it quite often. Just get out there and pour out my heart to Him. If you're dealing with fear of any kind, or God's dealing with you on humility, you're still holding on to your dignity. And God's just like, just be humble, own up to the fact you need me, and come on up. He wants you to be bold. I'm going to drop my dignity, drop my pride, but I'm also going to come boldly to the throne of grace. I'm going to come with confidence before God. That's not arrogance. That's a promise. Believe. No matter how bad or ugly it looks, just believe. You need to trust and hope in His Word. No matter how dark it's getting. or you need to silence the voices, the negative voice. I just invite you to come. If you need prayer, you want to get real with God, you want me to come and pray with you. Altars are open. The Lord wants to touch you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll just keep the altars open. If you still want to come up, great. But we're going to go ahead and dismiss you. I love you. You know I'm available all through the week if you need me. Prayer box is back there if you have a prayer request. Gina's here every Tuesday night to pray. And I come throughout the week. I pray over those things. We love you. God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a great week.